Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you. And I trust that the Lord will bless us as we turn again to Acts chapter 5. You'll be thinking, this is an awful long chapter, for we have been in it an awful long time. And some of your faces are just echoing exactly what I just said. But boys and girls, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I remember reading it a long time ago of a little group of believers. It happened in China, and they used to get together to worship secretly, because they weren't permitted to worship, and really still are not permitted in China to worship the Lord. And for a Bible, all they had, one page from the Bible. Bibles had been confiscated, destroyed by the Chinese authority, but somehow or other, one person had managed to hold on to one page. And when they gathered to worship, that's all they had. But boys and girls, there is so much on one page of God's Word that you could spend your life studying it and still find more to see, to understand, and to rejoice in. So, I hope you don't think that we're spending too long in Acts chapter 5. The chapter started off, you remember, with the sad case of Ananias and Sapphira, who tried to deceive the Lord and were judged. Solemn lesson, because we are all like Ananias and Sapphira. We think we can bluff God, and we ought to remember that there's a penalty for such. And then it moved on from there to the anger of the high priest and his friends at the preaching of the gospel and the work of God that was prospering. Prospering, boys and girls, to a degree we know nothing of in this day. For within a few days, it would appear that multitudes were converted to the Lord, and many, 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 many people were healed, most miraculously, by God, through the hands of the apostles. And these leaders, instead of recognizing that this was God at work, rose up in anger against the apostles and demanded that they stop. They were put into prison, but the Lord released them wonderfully and sent them right back to preach. So there's a conflict here. Men are saying, stop preaching. God is saying, go and preach. And it's not too hard to work out who we should obey. Now, boys and girls, we're looking particularly at the second division that we have used in our study. We started off with the miracles that were wrought. And then we started to look at the madness amongst the leaders, the Jewish leaders, that the working of God, the miracles, the conversions, created amongst those leaders. And we spent a wee bit of time on that, and we're just going to, as it were, bring that, I think, to an end today. You know, the anger that we find here and the fury that we find here may not be evident today in our country to the same level. But there are many countries where there are such fury and anger against the gospel. I mentioned China, North Korea, many other Asian countries. And then there's Muslim countries like Iran. The child of God, just like you, that has a Bible, they're breaking the law to start with. And if they are discovered, they will face terrible, terrible persecution. And it's something we should ever bear in mind as we enjoy the freedom to study God's Word, that there are tens of thousands who share your faith in the Lord Jesus, but they suffer terribly for it. We should ever bear them in mind, and we should raise a prayer to the Lord, even as we're thinking here today. For there are many, just like the apostles and the Christians in Acts chapter 5, who are suffering the wrath of wicked men now, right now. Now this wrath, as I say, it might not be evident in our country to the same level. I don't know, maybe the boys would know what it is I'm about to say. whenever there's a really big fire, maybe even a forest fire, and the firemen are there to put it out, often when the flames have disappeared, and many of the fire engines, etc., have headed back to the fire station, there's still one machine there, and one fireman, and he's hosing the place where the fire had burned, but there's no sign of flames, but there he is, hosing away. Why? Yes, Jacob, begin again. That's right. Because when there's a huge fire, there's a lot of metal and stones that would get as hot as, well, hotter than we could ever imagine. And even when hosed down, there's still such heat in them that they could very quickly reignite the fire, and off it would go again. So that's why that one fireman stays there, hosing away, bringing down the temperature of that which is left until there's no more risk. Well, boys and girls, the work of God is like that fireman. Throughout the ages, the fire of man's hatred of the gospel on occasions have burned very brightly, furiously, like here. But then God sends rain, the rain of blessing, and there's a subduing of the fire, like times of revival. The devil's forced to retreat. Many of his agents are converted, and so the opposition dies down. But given a chance, it will reignite if God doesn't keep it down. And the fury and the anger and the madness that we see in this chapter among the enemies of the gospel, let me tell you that that will reignite and burn furiously toward the end of this age. In fact, we see it beginning to mount and increase these days. I'm telling you, because you probably don't know this, not reading the news, nor following it, naturally enough. But for the discerning Christian, there is evidence of the fire beginning to burn again. And that fire we read of in Acts chapter 5 is reigniting across the world. And it's going to reach a fullness in the days of the Antichrist. Because the first thing I want you to notice is that in the last days of this age, the Antichrist and his forces will show the same spirit of murder as these Jewish leaders, but to an even greater degree. The fury of the Jewish leaders is contained, as it were, in Jerusalem. That's where it's centered. But there are coming days when it's going to spread to a very much wider area. A very much wider area. The hatred of God and of his truth is going to reach great land. In Revelation chapter 20, the last book of the Bible, and the chapter 20, which is near the very end of that book, and in the verse 4, John is given a vision. He says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Christ has returned by this time, referred to in verse 4 of chapter 20 of Revelation. He's ruling the world, and ruling with him are his people, his saints. And among them, there are those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus just before the Savior came. They were cruelly treated by the Antichrist, who had risen to power in the last 7 years of this age. And under him, this fire I've been talking about is going to burn furiously, furiously. And anybody who opposes him and refuses to submit to him because they love the Lord will be in great danger, and many of them will suffer much at his hand. Now, regarding Revelation chapter 20, there are some Christians who very foolishly refuse to believe all that they read there. If you look at Revelation chapter 20, you older ones in particular can easily look it up, it tells us 6 times in this chapter that the Lord Jesus is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. Six times 1,000 years is mentioned. If you look there in the verse 3, you have 1,000 years. And then if you move down to the verse 4, you have 1,000 years. And if you read on down to verse 5, you have 1,000 years. If you look at verse 6, you have a mention of 1,000 years. And then in verse 7, you have a mention of 1,000 years. So this is repeated, this period of time that Christ is going to reign on this earth and bring it under his control. And there are Christians who come to that, and they say, oh no, we don't believe that that will happen. Now, why they should say that, I have no idea. There's no rational reason why. Because they will readily accept, oh yes, there is an Antichrist, and oh yes, during the days of the Antichrist, God's people will suffer greatly. Yes, 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 we believe that. But then, when they come to the words 1,000 years, they say, no, no. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. How they can accept part of a verse and reject another part of the verse. God's telling the truth in one part, but they suggest that the other part is not true. I can't understand the thinking of Christians who take that line. They take the revelation that Christians are going to suffer under the Antichrist. Literally. They believe exactly what is said, but then they come to 1,000 years and they say, oh no, it doesn't really mean that. That's totally illogical, unscriptural, and sinful. That's what it boils down to. Man imposing his notions upon what God has clearly said. In Psalm 119 and the verse 160, we read these words, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Man has no right to come to God's word and say, I don't believe that God here is saying what is right. I've got to interpret his words and put my own meaning on them. That is totally wrong. If you did that in class, and teacher said, 1 and 1 is 2, and you said, well, I don't think the teacher's right there. I don't think that's just exactly correct. I'm going to understand from now on that what the teacher means is 1 and 1 is 3, and you're going to be in trouble the rest of your life if you work on that rule. Well, it's the same with God's word, boys and girls. We must take it that what God says he means, and he means what he says. So the rage that we read about, verse 5, while it's smouldering in our country, it's going to reignite like that fire we were talking about. Because in the end times, God, in order to fulfill his own glorious purpose, is going to withdraw his restraint upon the devil and let the devil have greater freedom to exercise his wicked power. God's going to do that. But he's only going to do that in order that the devil might put his head and neck in God's noose, and then God will tighten the noose. The second thing I want to say is this. The nation that crucified the Lord Jesus and opposed the apostles here in this chapter, that people, the Jewish nation, will be the Antichrist's chief target in the last days. You older ones, have you heard anything of the news in recent days of increasing attacks upon Jewish people over in England? Not just in England, but we'll concentrate on England. Any of you heard that? That's good. That's to be noted. That's to be noted. Now, the Jewish people, very wrongly, have ever been the target of wicked men. And not enough Christians have shown sympathy toward them. I was born in the middle of World War II, 1943. And when I was just born, over in Germany and in Poland, Nazi Germany was murdering millions of Jews. Millions. More than live in our little island of Ireland. That's what was going on. And toward the end of the war, as the advancing Allies took over the territories that Nazi Germany had conquered, they uncovered camp after camp after camp where hundreds of thousands of poor Jews Millions of them had been put to death in the most cruel way. In a way that if you were today to kill a dog or a pig or a cow, you would find yourself up in court and be found guilty of a crime. But that's how Nazi Germany treated the poor Jew. And that has always been so. And it's going to continue until the Lord Jesus comes again. And of course, the Jew is suffering because they are under God's judgment. He has withdrawn the favour that he showed to them for centuries because of what they did with their Messiah. Please, boys and girls, learn today. Each one of you, learn today. You cannot reject the Lord Jesus without encountering God's judgment. God will judge you for that. And that's why you are constantly told, listen to me, you're constantly told not to reject the gospel, but to believe what God has said and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Otherwise, judgment will come. And that's what the poor Jew is suffering. And the Lord Jesus warned that there would be in the last day a great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, the verses 14, 16, 21. You older ones, I want you to study that portion. Not just here, but at home. Look it up. When you go to bed at night, open your Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 14, 16, 21. And there you will see how the Lord Jesus warns that upon the Jewish people and upon the land of Israel there will come great tribulation, the like of which has never been seen before. Never been seen before. The rage and the fire of hatred against the gospel that we have been looking at here in Acts chapter 5 will reach a furious height in the last days, the last 3.5 years. Of this age. Of course, the Lord will bring it to an end. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. There's another verse for you to think about. And we read, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the fire of God's judgment burning against Jacob, reaching its height. But there's a lovely little phrase at the end of that verse. But he shall be saved out of it. Because that great tribulation will come to an end when the Lord Jesus returns and saves and converts the remnant of the people. My time is up, so I'm just going to repeat 2 points that I wanted to say. Those who oppose the gospel and afflict believers, as did the rulers in Jerusalem, will pay a very heavy price. God will not allow people who afflict and torture and persecute his people to get away with. Paul wrote this to Christians who were thus facing trouble. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Oh, look at the contrast. Those who hate the gospel, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. Those who love the Lord Jesus shall be glorified and be admired. Christians are not admired now. They're laughed at, mocked at, sneered at, and worse. They come when they shall be admired. And in the midst of trouble today, we can remember this and rest and be content and wait on the Lord. It is this truth that strengthens those afflicted by the enemy. You remember how Stephen died? You remember Stephen, the first martyr? He was stoned to death. But as he was being stoned to death, was he raging against those who were stoning him? No. You know what he said? Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the great sin they are committing. They don't know the punishment that will follow what they are doing. And he was praying that God would have mercy on them. That's how the Lord Jesus died on the cross, praying for those who were crucifying him. Now, you can only do that, boys and girls, if you're very conscious that what I am suffering now, that's not the end of it. That's not the end. Because God has great things in store for me, and he has terrible things in store for those who are hating the gospel. You know, many times, boys and girls, in our United Kingdom, there were boys and girls and mums and dads and brothers and sisters who were persecuted terribly because they believed the Bible back in the 1500s. And many were burned at the stake, which is a horrible death. But even as they were being burned, they had feelings of love for those who were treating them in this way. That was the grace of God. That was the same wonderful grace that was seen in the Lord Jesus as he died. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And these Christians, many of them, their words are recorded, prayed for those who were so evilly treating them, putting them to death, because they were so conscious that this is not the end. There's a great day coming when the wicked shall be dealt with by God, and those who are saved will enter into glory. And though those dying rejoiced at the prospect of them entering into glory, they still felt grief for those who by their foolishness hated the gospel and would therefore suffer judgment. Oh, that you might understand these things, boys and girls. Well, let's bow in prayer, please. So, God our Father, the human heart cannot see, cannot understand, cannot grasp these truths in and of itself. Our eyes are blind to these things until God opens them. And I pray, Lord, that for the boys and girls here who are not saved, that you will open their eyes, that they may behold the truth of the gospel, the wonders of the Lord Jesus, and obey him, and embrace him as their Saviour. Bless our school today. Remember those candidates, Lord, who have come to sit their exams here in our school. I pray, Lord, that they may encounter the gospel as they are for a short time within the premises here. Find the Bibles and the literature that's on display and freely theirs for the taking. Lord, have mercy upon them. Bless the teachers and all the concerns, the work of God here in our school, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.